Welcome to the Natcha Healing Show. Keep it Natcha with the Natcha Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, I've got a great treat for you. Today, Michael Andre Ford, angel intuitive, author of Listening to Angels, and a friend of mine, a fellow intuitive. And it's so fun running the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, interviewing and listening to the top healers in the world, of whom Michael Andre Ford, in my opinion, is one. You can find out more about Michael Andre Ford and his website at michaelandreford.com. Welcome, Michael Andre Ford.
Catherine, great to see you again. Thanks for having me back on.
So Michael and I were talking before we started recording, and I was saying that I'm actually very practical and solution-oriented. People come to me as a medical intuitive healer because they've got a problem they want to solve. And today we're going to be talking about is how to handle being a highly sensitive person. And I've recorded actually a couple of my own shows for the Natural Healing Show on this subject. So Michael Andre Ford, how do you know that you're highly sensitive?
Well, I'm going to be sort of putting up a counter argument. I'd argue that most people on this planet, if you have a big heart, you're automatically highly sensitive. You are intuitive. You're plugged in. You were at least that way when you came in as a baby. And you were that way at some point during childhood before you got rocked by trauma, pain, or adults. And some people hold on to it for a little while, all the way into their teenage or their 20s. But at some point, the world gets you and you take it a little too seriously. You become an adult. You do adulting. And then you're out of your heart for sure. And that's kind of the point of life and your special, unique journey, your life path that you're on, is finding your heart again. You really have two places, your brain, logos, reason, rationale, but we'll call it ego today, or your heart. And unfortunately, it's two different types of energy. And for a lot of us, we're not even aware that this is going on. And there's a lot of great movies, a lot of great self-help books, a lot of great sources that love to spend a lot of time, including Eckhart Tolle, talking about this dynamic. Wayne Dyer might have said it best, you can't be upset and take a wonderful hot shower. So you're either in the heart or you're up in the brain. And it's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. You cannot be half pregnant. And so we'll get into that in just a little bit.
So tell us more about your thought that most people are highly sensitive and then we just get knocked down by life. Tell me more about that.
I think a lot of people like to point out how interconnected everyone is to nature, to each other, how, quote, all is one. And I think that might be reaching a little high with the words because the brain doesn't like to hear that. And let's try to simplify it. What is it that we're talking about when you're highly sensitive? I would argue that it's just basic listening or basic feeling or basic seeing. And now in real life outside of this show, I love helping people, in the dynamic situations you were talking about. They have a problem. My situation is, my problem is, I love having them get answers, but I don't tell them a thing. I help them listen to the universe, angels, other loving beings. And so they do their own listening, all languages. They hear it just the way they need to hear it. And more, they get hugs. The hugs can lift the stress off of them. And let's jump over the fence and talk about ego. Ego is just a function of fear. It's control, worry, stress, rejecting, resisting what already is. And I do it, you do it. Everybody who's got a human brain does it all the time. It's called thinking. And unfortunately, ego is a waste of life. It's a waste of energy. And guess what's going to happen next? If anybody believes that, they're going to start beating themselves up more and judging themselves. And so this isn't about judging more or thinking more or knowing something more, the type of knowing that all of humanity does, the knowing that's the main currency for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years. It's the type of knowing that precludes possibility. Science is built on it. But look at any scientific discovery, it lasts for a week or two, and then there's a new scientific discovery that bumps the previous one out of the way. So we're talking about a form of thinking that's like concrete. It's concrete thinking. It's no fun. And if you look at your life, look at anybody's life, all their fun moments happen when they're in their heart. You can't be in front of a puppy and be in the brain and be like, should I pet the dog? Thinking that you should walk the dog is not walking the dog. When you walk the dog, you walk the dog. And most of us still walking the dog, holding up a cell phone right now, are on the cell phone. But if you can get past the cell phone, past yourself, past your ego, past thinking, and actually love your dog and be love in the moment with the leash, the dog, the pooch, that's being in the heart. And that's all this is about. So there's really nothing complex about it. It's so simple that it can escape you for 50 years. You take your job too seriously, relationships, trauma, this, that, your health situation, externalities. And you don't breathe, you don't smile, you don't laugh.
I love what you're saying, and I love that you bring up the dog. My dog Dixie, Cocker Spaniel, black and white. I remember when I studied medical intuition, my teacher said we should always have a foolproof positive thought. So a foolproof positive thought is something that if you just think about, it's going to matter, as you would say, Michael Andre Ford, open your heart, make you happy, lift your vibration. So all I have to do is think about petting Dixie, rubbing her belly, taking her for a walk, hugging my puppy. It's foolproof.
I love it. And you got to be careful with foolproof because fools are so damn ingenious. So that's the thing about ego too, is it shifts. It'll say such a great program. I'll start tomorrow and tomorrow never arrives. 2 years later, you're like, oh, I got tricked again. So ego is like Julie McCoy. If anybody remembers the Love Boat TV series from the 1980s, clipboard and pen, taking, fastidious notes, saying, absolutely, I agree, I agree. And then nothing ever happens. So just being in the heart, being, it's Shakespeare, to be or not to be. You can start to spot Einstein and many others, Marcus Aurelius, who figured out that there's a difference in flow up in the brain when you're in the brain and when you're in the heart. And there's an angel named Dale. Now, I help people talk to angels, see angels, and you can do it as a group. I feel like I'm off the hook. I took photos. Photos will move. You get to see full on directly, see them as humans. And there's an angel named Dale. He's a great coach. Coached an Olympic athlete, if you could allow for this, who won a lot of golds from the 70s or 80s. Dale said something special about this concept and that he put it all into a metaphor. That's us, a human being living their life, that it's like an undergraduate degree and a graduate degree. How so? You have to have one before the other. The undergrad degree, I'd say it's really simple, but again, it could take 5 lifetimes, 50 years, 10 years, or in an instant, you go, oh, it's right in front of me the whole time. It's me, it's my heart. And the undergraduate degree is recognizing the difference between thinking and allowing in the heart. But there's 1,000 different organizations, religions, cultures, groups that term the heart one way, 1,000 labels, and 1,000 different groups that label the stuff that goes on in the brain 1,000 other ways. So it's conditional love in the brain, unconditional love in the heart. It's unconsciousness in the brain, consciousness in the heart, awareness, unawareness, unlove, pain, ego, whatever you want to call it, judging, not judging. And that's why so many people have invested so many billions of hours trying to educate us on letting go, allowing. And once you've got that undergraduate degree and you've got it down solid, and I mean, if anyone remembers those 1970 stoves made out of iron, the spiral that heats up turns orange when you turned it on high. I think at some point we all touched one of those and went, oh my God, that's hot. And you never wanted to do it again. Now, maybe I'm the type that needed it twice to learn the lesson, but most of us never will touch a hot stove again. That is what you need to know to understand the difference in flow, negativity, love and allowing and possibility and no limits. Limits in the brain, no limits in the heart. Once you've got that, you're ready to go for the graduate degree, which is your unique life path and getting to it, showing love always and living, real living, living in the heart, shining. When you're connected to your soul, your eyes sparkle, you light up, you're beyond thought. You've shoved thought and ego out of the driver's seat into the back seat. You no longer let it control everything you do.
Brilliant. I know I'm going to have to listen to this show again and again and again, because You're just dropping one pearl of wisdom after the other, Michael Andre Fort.
You tell all the guests that.
No, I don't. I actually don't. Now, so going back to what you're saying is, in your opinion, we're all born highly sensitive people, and then life just kind of shuts us down. So, in your opinion, Michael Andre Ford, what exactly is a highly sensitive person?
Well, let's do the reverse all over again and reverse engineer the answer. I mean, is love the fabric of the universe? Most of my guests on like 300 plus shows say absolutely yes. I only got a maybe once, I think. So love is the fabric of the universe. How do you know? Well, that's your own discovery. You get to figure it out. But if you came out of the universe and now you're born as a baby, you're love. You're just everything is simple. It's you're like a light switch, but upside down. So when you're on, that's flip that light switch upside down. You're in your heart. And I think one thing that's going to would have gone unspoken till now is you don't give yourself credit for very much. You're in your heart more than you would know it throughout the day, but it'll be more unconscious. Your brain, your ego is there to limit you, control you with that clipboard and pen, Julie McCoy kind of cruise director style. It doesn't want to give you credit for anything, but it only has so much bandwidth. It's sort of like a crop duster with a half tank of petrol. It's a biplane from the 1940s with very limited range, very limited capacity. It could barely do a loop-de-loop and nothing else. It's rickety. But boy, does it try to take control and convince you of the reality you're in. My situation is, my problem is, you're stuck. And your heart is like an F-18 or some amazing jet that could do a million miles an hour. And it's so much bigger than anything you think you're stuck in, any reality. If you're trapped in a country, trapped in a culture, trapped in this ideology, that ideology, or something's happening to you, you are love. And you're going to have to trust in that. And you're the only person who's listening right now, the audience. You're the only person who can take your own steps. That's why I don't like to tell anybody anything. Even if the way I'm talking on this show, it looks like I like to talk. I actually don't like to tell anybody anything. You should just listen to your own cheerleading squad. And I set that up. So I try not to tell anybody anything except for Catherine Kerrigan's amazing show.
Okay, well, one of the things that I have learned is that the energy field of your heart, your EKG, is actually 30 to 60 times more powerful than your EEG. And so I know that throughout our lives, we've all met people who are maybe super smart, brainiac, etc. They have all the information, and yet nobody listens to them because they're not connecting through their heart. They're not communicating through their heart, right?
Exactly. And look, it could be the other way around too. It could be a metaphysical genius on the spiritual front who has got every award, 50 best-selling books. They've sold 40 million books. They're booked out for 25 years, but they may not be doing growth and expansion. Now, here's the tricky part. Life itself is not a fixed thing. You don't just achieve the goal line and get a touchdown or score a soccer goal and you're done. It's constant growth and expansion. And the universe has a way, and angels have a way to make sure you are challenged at times. If you are not opening openness, if you are not open, if you're not willing to pay attention, they will find a way to get you to pay attention. And oftentimes it's through difficulty, through disease, health stuff, bad relationships, so that sometimes suffering is the best teacher. And experience is often what you get when you don't get what you want. So you being in alignment with yourself, that big heart that you mentioned and the brain, that's kind of a part of this. And it's why, whether it's the Sufi tradition or India or this tradition or this self-help group or meditation, mindfulness, there's 4,000 ways that all point the same way to your huge heart that's already connected. And here's how I'm going to try to simplify it more. It's basic listening. If you've ever met somebody that you really like, I think we've all done it. You're hanging on their every word. That's all you have to do with angels. Be like, hey, what do I need to know? And what do I do next for this situation? You get your answers and you hear it just the way you need to hear it. And they'll hold your hand and they'll show up, and they'll show up as light, and they'll do little mini miracles or big miracles. And at some point, you crumble. Your ego can't hack that, it cannot handle that. It wants to keep everything shut tight. And let me do one more analogy for the heart versus the mind. Shut tight like an oyster is the brain, and the world is your oyster, is when you're in the heart. So if you want to have fun and you want to love more, show love always, and be able to enjoy your dog, enjoy relationships, have the best career experience ever, you're gonna have to learn to get back into your heart like you were when you were a kid. You never lost that instance, innocence. And one last concept, love is a constant. Love is everywhere. You only have to open your eyes to find love. And that wasn't me. That was Big Mary who said that. If anything sounded smart today, I'm borrowing from angels for all of it. Trust me.
So, Michael Andre Ford, I have to share this story. And, if you're listening, you may go, why is she talking about that? How did she get there? But in my healing room, I have flower essences from all over the world. Okay. And most of these are made by other people. But years ago, if anybody knows my website, katherinekerrigan.com, or they know me, they know I love orchids and I raise orchids. So if you walk into my healing room, you're basically surrounded by orchids, and orchids are the most evolved flowers on the face of the earth, so they make amazing remedies. So anyway, long story, years ago, I was communicating with a friend of mine in Scotland who makes flower essences from orchids, Don Dennis. I've had him on my show several times. And I was showing him a picture. I was growing a Paphiopedilum hainaldiatum. Hainaldiatum, say that real fast. Paphiopedilum hainaldiatum. And anyway, I'm sending him photos of this incredible orchid. And he walked me through the steps of making my own flower essence. So I made a healing remedy from this incredible orchid. And when you make a flower essence, what you're doing is you're imprinting the healing vibration of this flower into the remedy. And afterwards, then you sort of read what are the healing benefits. Well, I call this remedy reverence. And if I could summarize that in a word, it would be wow. And so, if you think about looking at a beautiful sunset or just looking at a beautiful garden, you're just having these uplifted experiences and it's wow. And I think that we're in, when we, you are in that wow experience, your heart is open, your mind is open, your soul is open, and you just get a glimpse of the beauty and majesty of the world, of who you are, of your connection to all that is. And you have this little glimpse. It's like, wow.
I love that. And I'll try to point out the light switch analogy, but a real light switch on someone's wall. If ego was really in charge all the time, you'd be in deep trouble. You'd be miserable. You'd be losing sleep every night automatically, no matter how good of a sleeper you ever were, because the ego would destroy you on a light switch exercise alone. If you walked up to turn on the living room light, imagine what would happen if ego thought this was really important and you should fret about it. You should worry about it. You should fear it. You should have angst and lose sleep over it. Did the light go on quick enough? Do I need to call an electrician? Is it the light bulb? Is it the switch? Is it my technique? Is it my finger? Should I use my other hand? Imagine the possibilities of the ways you could slice and dice, all the ways you could waste energy on just a light switch, if not everything else. Luckily, the ego only focuses on the big stuff, relationships, the business, the money, the this, the that, power. Should I do this? I'm lack. Blah, blah, blah. Let me read a couple of angel definitions of ego, just a few, and then a couple of compassion to show the contrast. And these are from years ago, but one angel, my guardian angel, said, ego is a false security blanket. Archangel Michael said, ego is getting lost in thoughts regarding tasks, goals, and perceived accomplishments. And just to do one more, ego creates so many unneeded false hopes and expectations. And then compassion. Compassion is just being and trusting the outcome to be of the highest intent for all. And here's Matt, don't call her Mackenzie, another angel. She said, compassion is treating every moment with the awareness of a newborn baby, kind of like what you talked about when you see a sunset. And that Satori, Samadhi, Shaktipat, whatever you want to call it, being in the now, being in your heart, you never lost it. You're as good as the biggest guru in India or whoever you think's really groovy and cool for letting go. You're Eckhart Tolle, if you think he's cool. But you have a big heart and you just have to pay attention more, slow down more, and catch your thoughts before you let them become reality.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message here from one of our sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening today to my dear friend, angel intuitive, Michael Andre Fort. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Michael Andre Fort, can angels help calm overwhelming emotions?
Absolutely. One hug from them could. Angels have no limits. They're beyond human thinking. We think they're perfect. They are, but they're still technically learning from us. They live within us and around us, come in all shapes, sizes, colors, all sorts of backgrounds too. And they can show up as full humans. So some of my guests have had that happen. I've had that happen. There's an angel named Heather who makes hearts in her photographs, and that's made out of light energy, like just up by your ceiling, or they fly by, and that'll drop your jaw. There's no way to grasp any of this. In fact, all of it is a lot to take in. And the reason why this isn't about thinking, this is about like less thinking. I'm going to keep pointing back to the heart, down to no thinking, full stop, and not silence, but stillness. That's where all the good stuff happens, where you get all the help in the world, including calming your emotions down.
What daily habits help us to protect our energy?
Some people use crystals or shower water, touching their hands in water. Exercise is a great way to do compassion. I know that sounds odd, but Archangel Michael said that, and I thought it was incredible. You can just ask angels to look out for you. I've got a couple, two angels, Jamie and a Rachel, who I describe as secret service agents. Careful where you put yourself. If you're hypersensitive, just walking into a crowd, a concert, or a mall can mess you up. I can give one example. I loved in Austin, Texas, meeting at the Whole Foods headquarters. So downtown Austin, Texas, there's a huge building, and they have the most beautiful supermarket down below, regular Whole Foods, a little bigger. And they had seating that was just so much fun to meet people who are coming to meet angels. And so I love doing business there. But upstairs in the corporate area, at one point, I think this is like 10 to 15 years ago, they had a lot of difficulties. Maybe they were being sold or acquired and a lot of fighting. And I kind of got told not to go there anymore for a little while. Too much negativity. And I was like, it's my favorite spot. And I went and I sat near the window. I tried to pay attention a little bit. And I met the client and I got knocked out after being there. It literally was negativity. And I was crying on a couch the next day or later that day. And I was knocked out for a couple days. And it's a bit of a lesson, and you forget your lessons. But you have to have good boundaries. And you are the one who, again, has to figure out the boundaries. There's tons of great resources. But angels will tell you these boundaries directly, how to set them up, how to live by them, how to allow for protection.
So, Michael Andre Fort, I would venture to say that you and I are among the people who actually chat with our angels every day and ask for guidance. So how I know how I go about chatting with my angels. I pray, I meditate, and then I just sort of tune in. I call them in. How do you chat with your angels?
I've been chatting with them for about 15 years. It's kind of just a running chat throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Also, I just try to slow up and hear, is it go unload the dishwasher, go for the run now, make tea, make a instant soup? Is it go have fun, play a video game, watch TV, something? So I kind of just go with the flow, but the flow is definitely Angel's suggesting stuff.
Okay. Now, as you know, Michael Andre Ford, many people have trouble saying no. And even it's so funny because I remember when I was beginning healing work, I would do healing work with people to empower them to say no. Like some people literally can't say no. So, how can people say no without guilt?
Well, guilt is a super low vibration, so you should never be having guilt about anything. You should follow your bliss. That's a famous the guy who did Power of Myth, the professor. Follow your bliss. What makes you happy? Always do that. That's a function of self-love and appreciating who you are and allowing and paying attention. So having an open heart, having an open perspective, having an open mind allows you to unlock all your potential. If you are saying yes to everyone else, it means you're saying no to yourself. It needs to be the other way around first. Until you understand who you are, what you're about, and how to put yourself first, you're no good to anybody else. So it's a little bit like those airplane analogies when the masks drop. You have to put yours on first before you start helping other people. And I think a lot of people have used that as an anecdote.
Now, Michael Andre Ford, the one of my shows that I recorded and it's available on UK Health Radio and also on YouTube is Catherine Keurigan, How to Become Strong Enough to Handle Being a Highly Sensitive Person. Because it's my view that when you're a highly sensitive person, that's who you are. That's not going to change. But you can become strong enough to handle it. And when you become strong enough to handle it, then it becomes a superpower, right? So I tell people I couldn't do what I do at the level that I do it if I wasn't a highly sensitive person. In your opinion, as an angel intuitive, can you turn sensitive, can do you think people can turn sensitivity into a strength?
I think being in your heart is the greatest success of all. So I think being awareness, being appreciation, being love, showing love always is the height of success. And let me back up. So there's a difference between just knowing all this stuff or hearing it and saying, oh, yeah, and doing it. And the same thing applies to the big picture for each person who's listening, their life. There's a difference between knowing your path and actually experiencing it. So what's funny is there's nothing you actually have to do. This isn't about doing anything. This isn't the societal, you've got to go be successful, make a lot of money, own a house. It's none of the externals. This is finding your path in your heart that already exists and awakening to it. And angels will help you with that. It doesn't have to be like Christmas Carol, Scrooge. Now, I know that's like a 3-hour movie or a 90-page book, and I know everybody thinks Scrooge was a jerk at the beginning. He was down to dental floss for a life force. He was mean. But by the end of the book, he's the biggest joy bringer, and his transformation really happened in about a minute and a half of plot time. He fell asleep, it happened really fast, and he woke up before, I think it was midnight or something like that, and then the goose and all the rest. The point is, we're all that Scrooge stuff. And it's the barometer. Every day we're a giant pendulum swinging back and forth. Ego, heart, ego, 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 heart. And sometimes we're heart 20 times in a row, including flipping that light switch, but we get no credit for being in the heart. We're not even aware we're in our heart. And that's how easy it is just go look at a flower. Go watch the tea that you're pouring, or actually listen to your dog. They're like a fourth grader. You can hear them talk. None of this takes any effort. And so there's a lot of intellectual exercises going on out there, and that's what all these professionals are doing. The best scientists in the world, most of them, except for Einstein. Einstein got a lot of his answers in his naps and was chatting with loving beings. You can meet Einstein and chat with him. He's unconditional love on the other side. He's amazing. And so you could argue that it's the whole, let's sound really Zen. Many questions, one answer. What's that answer? Many paths, one answer. What is that answer? I'm going to say it's unconditional love, but I can't tell you a thing. You have to decide. You're the only one that matters on all of this. How are you spending your energy and where you put your focus? Those are two of the four things I've learned in 15 years. How you spend your energy is how you spend it, and where you put your focus is where you put your focus. Most of us are like squirrel. We get so distracted and taken over by video games, TV, what other people say, the narrative, this, that, control, fear. And all you have to do is pay attention to what makes you feel good.
I love that. What pay attention to what makes you feel good, right?
Yes. And
Yes.
I can do one last 30-second bit on that, which is accept yourself as you are, those around you for who they are, and the world as it already is. Then you've removed most of the barriers preventing full living. So it's breathe more, relax, learn. Like breathe more fully, feel the universe, absorb that insight that's already within, relax, and then start learning, awaken to a bigger reality. So again, this is about giving and sharing love. That's all that matters. Understand in your own way, at your own pace, if it takes 5 lifetimes, 50 years, 60 teachers, Catherine Kerrigan plus 50 more, at your own pace, understand that everything really is connected and you are unique. And then you're off to the races.
And with that, let's take another break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, listening to my great friend Michael Andre Ford, Angel Intuitive. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Michael Andre Ford, I appreciate that you shared the story about how you received guidance not to go to a certain place, and then you went there anyway. We've all done that. Where we get the guidance, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't eat that thing. Don't, stay away from that person. And then we do it anyway. Because that's, our human. It's like, wait a minute. I have to bump up against my... Even though, and I'm laughing with you, not at you, even those of us who are professional intuitives, it's like, I heard this guidance. Why didn't I listen the first time? I'm laughing with us, right? So, Michael Andre Ford, how do you handle noisy, chaotic places?
I carry a pouch of crystals. I ask angels to kind of bubble me up. I wear a necklace with a crystal in it. I try to just be in my heart. And I'm usually pretty high vibe. So that hasn't been my biggest concern. Like, I love crowds and I love people and I love people watching. So I was pretty fearless when it came to that Whole Foods example. But boy, was it like stepping into a boxing ring, and boy, did negativity do a number on me. And that's happened a few times over, a decade or so. Look, all of this learning or the journey is as long or as short as you want to make it, and it's perfect as it is. You are already perfect as you are right now. There's nothing to like lose. There's nothing to gain. So move past seeing the negative here. There's nothing you have to comprehend. You actually just get out of the brain and start to breathe more. Understand what you really are, which is energy. If you want to be better about it, love, your pure awareness, your light. And as soon as you start to figure that out, you're like, aha. And the only way I know how to crack the code here for someone is if they're good at chess and you're in the zone and you're unstoppable on the chessboard, or tennis, beautiful strokes in a row, or petting your dog, you're having a moment. That's what I'm talking about. You're in the zone, flow state, if you wish. But I'm going to argue that flow state diminishes it a little, that language, because this is beyond English. You're love. And I mean love. Like Piglet and Winnie the Pooh. And here's most of us. We're Piglet. Piglet asks Winnie the Pooh, how do you spell love? And Winnie the Pooh answers, you don't spell it. You feel it. And unfortunately, most of our professionals out there, the banker, the scientist, the geologist, the this, the that, not to pick out any profession, all of us, when we're doing our thing, oftentimes it's through thinking. And that's a lens. Take the lens off and you'll be even more successful, but you'll be doing it out of the heart, bringing joy to others in such a way that 1 + 1 = 111.
Now, Michael Andre Ford, you are an angel intuitive. Do the angels give specific coping tips on how to handle being a highly sensitive person and living in the heart?
Yes, they give answers for anything. They oftentimes, like if it's about your life path, they'll get you back on your path even though you never left it. And they'll teach you to calm down about the steps you need to take. They're the ones that'll end up almost taking your steps for you. They'll help the path be revealed each day as you go along so that it becomes more and more fun, surprising, engaging. So if you're bored, feeling stuck, in pain, not having fun, not feeling like this should be it, you feel like, what the heck have I gotten myself into? This is for you. You don't have to know much either. Just tell the universe and angels, if you don't mind me suggesting, I only have like one rule. Set your intent. And my only rule or structure is this. Angels, help me out of my head, into my heart, to blah, 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 blah. Be in my heart, have more fun, get answers, and own it with a thank you, Om Sai Ram, amen, whatever works for you, rock and roll. So angels, get me out of my head, into my heart, help me be protected as I go to the mall or the Whole Foods. Amen, thank you. You have to find your comfort zone, because when it comes from your heart, those are words through the heart. People call that prayer. When you do words through the heart, the universe hears you and the universe responds. And until you trust that the universe is that big and that sparkly and that fun, you're basically kind of stuck for a little while. So you're going to have to take a leap of faith. And that faith is religious or non-religious. It doesn't really matter. It's the same thing in my book. And that leap is only like, what do they usually say? 26 inches from your forehead, the brain, the ego, the judging, the control, the fear, down to your heart. You got to shift. Something's got to give. Is the world your oyster, or are you shut tight like an oyster? Most people I know are shut tight like an oyster. But remember, we're not judging. So everyone's good where they are right now. They're doing the best they can.
I love this. And I'm going to tell another story, which is going to sound like a complete non sequitur to start out with. So in addition to my work as a medical intuitive healer, I've also taught yoga now. This will be my 32nd year teaching yoga. I'm so old that. Anyway, anybody who knows me, I'm always wearing something sparkly. And last weekend, I was teaching my Saturday morning 8:30 yoga class. And one of my yoga students from the back, he's like, you're wearing diamonds teaching yoga. And I said, they're all fake. I said, I'm always sparkling. And I just got my, I recently put fairy hair in my fair, tinsel in my hair. My mother thinks that's terrible. I love it. Because I just feel like everyone needs to be uplifted. And when we communicate with our angels and we ask for guidance and we ask for protection, you're just immediately uplifted. And I think that's something that you and I, as people and as intuitives, we both offer other people, is just this quality of upliftment. And when you get uplifted, then it's like just your energy raises, your vibration is lifted, and you're not in the depression, the anxiety, the overwhelm.
I love that. And I would have another way to say it as well with respect to creation. When you're thinking, you're creating all the time. Sometimes that thinking, though, is through the heart, and then it's a different type of creation. So everyone's creating barriers with thinking, judging, and fear. And those barriers prevent full living. The whole goal here is to let go and begin to appreciate, understand, and live in non-judgment, like love, belief, compassion, love for all, self-love, like no limits, that innocence that they talk about in India, the non-duality thing, where both virtue and vice are one. So angels once said there is no right or wrong, but there's proper understanding. I'm going to leave it to the listener to figure out what that proper understanding is. Is it love? Is it opening openness? Is it allowing? Is it attention? Is it, relax? Probably chillax would apply to all of us. We all need to relax more out of what we know. There's so much knowing going around that allows people to point the finger. And that's when harm starts happening, or worse. And there's a lot of that in the history of humankind. But I think there's something coming in that's called higher vibration, higher frequency, that you, everyone listening, is a part of, and that you'll begin to experience more as time goes by, so much so that even time itself won't be the same way as you remembered it from like the 80s.
Now, how can people stay grounded after emotional overload?
Trees, grass, go hug a tree, take a shower, touch water, put music on. Sometimes the music, though, will overload you. So maybe it needs to be a different type of music. Have tea, breathe. It depends on how bad it is. If you really absorbed a lot, if you're slumped over, eyes are shut, if you have a pool, a pond, put your feet in the water, you can immediately ask archangels to step in and ground you. It's kind of the opposite. They usually like lighten you up so much that you're flying. But trees, you can see their aura if you really let go. And here's a way, if people are worried about seeing light, here's a way you can just wake up in the morning before you know your name, if you've gotten out of bed, before you brush your teeth, before you have tea, before you can do anything. Maybe leave a post-it note up, a bright neon post-it note. So you go, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do this. And you rush out to wherever the recessed lights are. I'm pointing to some on my living room ceiling. Those traditional recessed lights at 5 a.m. and you don't even know like what you're doing, you'll see a big ball of rainbow light, like a beach ball of rainbow light around it. Mm-hmm. And before your thinking can come in, your heart is going to leap and you're going to be like, oh my God, that's the prettiest light I've ever seen. And as the thinking starts to come in, it'll diminish. And the thinking will come in and be like, what am I seeing? Like, it's really pretty, but what am I seeing? And it shrinks. And like, oh, it just shrunk. Is it going to shrink more? Because now your thinking's jumping on this. It wants to kill the experience as fast as possible. You need to stay stuck with problems and knowing too much. Because none of this is about knowing anything. That's why all the knowing metaphysical stuff, why you're a guru and you're enlightened, most of the people enlightened can't help you. You're the only one who can take your steps. You're the only one who can let go and be and breathe and laugh. And laughter is love, and your laughter is hope and healing to others. So that's all this is about, is ripples of high vibe light coming to you from your alignment with all there is in the universe, your soul. You can see your soul out in the sky. It'll look like the aurora borealis. You'd have to be really loopy or have a good instructor, or you just said, I can do it. And put your hand on your heart and ask angels to get you there. You'll see light in the sky that's your higher self. You can hear your higher self. You obviously talk to angels, but you're already hearing a voice all day long. Some of it's ego. Some of it's your grandmother. Some of it is angels. How do you know which is which? I'll leave you with this. How do you know a good cup of coffee is a good cup of coffee?
So, Michael Andre Ford, what do you think is the easiest first step for self-care?
Breathing. Maybe learn to meditate, but don't get too serious about it. Don't suddenly get fixated on that one technique from that one country, from that one instructor, and that one lineage. Mix it up once in a while. Give yourself a 3-year stint. Be the best there is at that type of meditation. Then switch it up to dancing, ecstatic dancing. Dancing, go-go this, or the formal dance. I forgot what it's called. Those dance floors where they do the beautiful type of dancing from the 50s. Swing dancing or something like that. But anything can be your instruction, and everything is your instruction. So it's really, how can you pay attention more? Only you can figure this out. But a lot of people will tell you lots of stuff. So you'll be told, that's the least of your worries. Everyone you meet, every human instructor, every teacher is going to tell you how to do it.
So we're talking about living our life from our heart, honoring our sensitivity. So Michael Andre Ford, final question. What are the benefits of living our life from our heart?
I mean, it's living. Ego and thinking and all that striving and chasing is a waste of energy. It's a waste of life. So live your life, follow your path. Just be, trust more, allow more. Don't do fear. You have to understand the hot stove concept. Is fear good? Do you want to live in fear? Do you want to feel stuck? Do you want to be unable to sleep and unable to walk and appreciate nature and all that is within you and around you? Or do you, you know, want to be able to be like you're in a Disney movie, the Disney from the 1970s, the fun stuff, the joy? Do you want to experience more joy? And do you want to be that joy and spread that joy to others? I guess that is a fundamental question. For most of us, I think everyone out there should be yelling, sign me up.
And one of the things that I frequently point out is that all healing is slowed down vibration. So if you think about when you have a cold, you're blowing your nose, you can hardly get off the couch, it takes an effort to make chicken soup. And all healing happens when you lift your vibration. So when we get into our heart and listen to our angels, then we heal ourselves naturally.
And I would love to just make a blowing sound and push light and love to everybody. It's going to be a whoosh, but it's really angels. Don't blame me. Don't blame Canada. Catherine can see what I'm doing. And I'm just going to put my hands up like I'm doing patty cakes or whatever that's called. But I'm going to push that light out to everyone with angels' help and feel what you can feel. People do that on my show all the time. And it's a little easier when you can see people receiving and their reaction. But here it goes. And Catherine's our guinea pig in Atlanta. I love Catherine, and she's so good at this. Here it comes. Catherine, are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
Did you feel that whoosh?
I felt the whoosh. And that, I think that was the feeling that you and I have been speaking about. You have been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now on Substack. Our guest today, the one, the only, angel intuitive, Michael Andre Ford, author of Listening to Angels. And you can find out more about Michael Andre Ford and his wonderful work at Michael Andre Ford. And remember, when you live your life from your heart, you heal yourself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.